Hello, CA family and any guests watching. My name is Jill. I'm one of the pastors on staff. Whether this is your first time here or you tune in every week, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us today in our online service. We are a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church that is committed to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, both in word and action, in our city and the world around us. If you're searching for a home church or you're looking to get connected more at Christian Assembly, simply scan the code on the screen. This will give you information about the life of our church, including our weekend service times, special events, life groups, kids church, CA students, and so much more. Thanks so much for watching, and may God bless you as you do.
Well, thank you, Jill, and hello to everybody. Happy New Year. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. My name's Matt. If you're visiting, always such an honor to have you with us. As we are giving this offering together, it's also a Kingdom Weekend. As many of you know, once a month, we set aside time to give an additional offering to our Kingdom efforts. And this is the last Kingdom Weekend of the year. I want to just point out real quick for us some highlights of our Kingdom efforts in 2024. All of this, by the way, is possible because of what we have given together and prayed for together and believed in together. And it is all a demonstration of the grace and the glory of God as we seek His kingdom, both near and far. So this year, in our Kingdom efforts, we supported and served 50 different Kingdom partnerships, which is the most we've ever done. 785 of you participated in Kingdom events this year, which is up 23% from last year. So way to go by getting off the bench, so to speak, and on the field and being engaged in this. We also counted 50 people who made decisions to trust and to follow Jesus just through our local Kingdom efforts. That doesn't include all of our different ministries throughout the life of our church, but that's it. Things like the FCA Sports Camp, for example, and other efforts like that. So on the local side, all of what we did included youth outreach, college ministries, church planting, supporting foster families, mentoring at-risk children, caring for people experiencing homelessness, and more. And we wanted you to see just one little video that captures one story of how this is happening. So take a look.
Every year, tens of thousands of people in Los Angeles experience homelessness. This inspired us as a church to sponsor tiny homes to care for people experiencing homelessness in our city. Through our partnership with Hope the Mission, which is a Christian organization that is the largest homeless service provider in Los Angeles, we are able to care for many experiencing homelessness in our city in Jesus' name. Someone that has been impacted by this ministry is Sheila. Sheila came out to Los Angeles from Missouri with her son. After her job fell through, she was living in hotels until she ran out of money. She later ended up on the streets and lived in a tent for about 8 months, where her and her son were often in danger. Thankfully, she had a friend that connected her with the tiny homes, and with the help of Hope the Mission, her caseworkers, and the holistic support and job training, she recently transitioned and received the keys to long-term housing. Praise God that there are many testimonies of people like Sheila who are now off the streets and able to walk in the hope God has for them. If you want to learn more about Christian Assembly's partnership with Hope the Mission, you can read more about it in our Kingdom magazine.
I don't know if you noticed, there's a little plaque on one of them that they showed, one of those tiny houses that says, sponsored in Jesus' name. They said to us, we'll put your organization name on there. We'll say sponsored by Christian Assembly. We said, no, just have it say sponsored in Jesus' name. May his name be known and praised. On a on a global scale, our partnerships are serving 29 countries with efforts of compassion and evangelism and discipleship. We're reaching to 35 different unreached people groups so that everyone has access to the message of Jesus Christ. And we sent 6 global mission teams to serve in different parts of the world: Central Asia, Kenya, the Czech Republic, the Dominican Republic, and 2 teams that served in Mexico, including one team that just 3 weeks ago went down 35 people to serve with our partners in Tijuana, and they put on a Christmas outreach that served over 300 people. I think we've got a picture of part of that event. So you can learn more and read stories of our kingdom efforts and God's transforming work, just as the video said, in that magazine that we put out, Overflow magazine. If you haven't received one yet, you can grab one in the lobby on your way out or look for it on our website. Lastly, I want to just thank all of you who have given and served and prayed in these efforts. We have done this together. And each of us have been commissioned by God to live on mission right where God has placed us. And so the ushers are ready to come and receive this second offering once a month, as I mentioned, this kingdom offering that goes to support all of this work and more. But before the ushers come, let's just pray for a moment if we can and ask for God's blessing on this offering. Lord, we do want to thank you first and foremost. We are reminded of how worthy you are of our worship. Not just in our songs we sing, Lord, but in the lives we live, in what we give together, you are worthy. You are the hope this world is still looking for. You still change hearts and lives, and you still save and rescue and heal and transform. And so, God, we ask that you would receive our offering for your kingdom and that you would bless what we give for your efforts to your glory in Jesus' name. And together we say amen. Ushers, you can come, and Alex has something planned for us. Well, I thought we'd spend just a little bit of time this weekend thinking ahead to the new year. It's probably where a lot of our minds are already going anyway. So let's go there and let's think about 2025. Let's think a little bit about faith in 2025 this weekend, okay? On February 22nd, now I'm going to go way back into some history for a moment, 1906, a young African-American man named William Seymour arrived for the first time in the city of Los Angeles. He had come to L.A. for a job to be the new pastor of a little church near the corner of Santa Fe Avenue and Olympic Boulevard, if you know where that is, south of downtown. It was a Thursday when he arrived by train and walked out of the Santa Fe Depot. And on that Sunday morning, arrived on a Thursday, Sunday morning, he preached his first sermon, a little message of encouragement to this new little congregation that he was going to lead, preached to them a message about seeking a personal experience of the power of the Holy Spirit, just as people had experienced in the book of Acts. Well, apparently the sermon was not well received, because after lunch, when he returned to preach the Sunday night service, he found a new lock on the door, and the elders of the church met him outside to let him know he was no longer welcome to be their pastor of that church. Can you imagine? Within just a couple of days after arriving in L.A., Seymour was fired, had no place to go, no place to be. He had not even secured lodging. If he could have afforded a ticket, he could have walked right up Santa Fe Avenue and gotten back on the train to go somewhere. But he had not the money to buy a ticket, hadn't been paid yet. And he had no backup plan. And so he contemplates possibly going to stay temporarily at a homeless shelter for men in L.A. at the time called the Peniel Mission. But a man who was part of that little church and worked at that homeless shelter heard what had happened and invited Seymour to his house to stay in his guest room temporarily till he could figure out another plan. Well, William Seymour had to be thinking to himself, by the way, there's a monitor back here buzzing, and if it's possible, Jay or Alex, somebody could turn that off. You probably don't. Ah, thank you, Lord. There is a God. Okay. Now think about this guy, though. No place to go. Came out for a job, nothing to do. Had William Seymour misunderstood when he thought God was, thank you, Alex, when he thought God was calling him to move to California to pastor that church? Or were the elders who didn't like his sermon rejecting God's plan by rejecting this new pastor? Were they wrong, or was William Seymour wrong? Either way, this was not what he expected to happen. Nor did he expect that a little more than a month later, he would be leading one of the greatest revivals in the history of Christianity. But what do you do when life is unexpected? How do you live? How do you respond when circumstances are out of your hands, when other people's decisions affect you with little or no concern for you? What do you do when you or a family member end up in a hospital bed and you're trying to make sense of medical terms and procedures you never knew you would need to know? What do you do when you start a new job and find that it's going to require more effort or more patience or more humility than you expected? Or when you retire and find that retirement is going to require more effort, more patience, and more humility than you expected? What do you do when you show up only to be let down or surprised by events you didn't plan? There will be some surprises in 2025. Unexpected news, choices and decisions you might not be fully prepared for today. And more than any other factor, the greatest instrument you and I will have in 2025 is faith. You can count on it. What you believe. No matter what happens in the new year, your life will depend on what you believe. The writer of Hebrews made this really crucial observation in the New Testament. And in a kind of summary of the biblical record, he pointed out how vital faith is from generation to generation. Verses are in your bulletin. and will be on the screens if you want to read along with them there. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about this crucial instrument of faith. Faith is the confidence, he wrote, that what we hope for will actually happen. Gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And it's impossible to please God without faith, he says in verse 6. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And so going all the way back to the beginning of creation, from generation to generation, this writer of Hebrews is telling us life is full of the results of people living, choosing, responding, and acting by faith. Faith matters, and faith will matter in 2025. Yes. And so I want my faith to grow stronger. I want my faith to grow deeper and to reach further in this new year. As this year ends, I'm asking God to reinforce my faith for whatever may come my way. And so I want to tell you four ways that I believe living by faith is possible, four ways that will help us do that. And here's the first way we can live by faith. By faith, we can anticipate power. We can anticipate power. It's important to take note of what you are anticipating in this new year. We can anticipate power. How's your faith regarding the power of God? Do you believe God is able to affect your life and the lives of others with his power? Is that something that you're expecting, or do you expect power to, well, that's something someone else will do. God will use others in powerful ways. He's never used me in a powerful way before, and so I don't expect God will ever use me in a powerful way. If that is how you are living, let your faith grow in this new year. By faith, anticipate that God wants to do something powerful in you and through you. This Christmas, we chose to focus our attention on the meaning of Emmanuel. We just sang about this, God with us. And wherever God is present with power. He's present in our time, not in the form of a baby in a manger, but by the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter with us. He is the advocate, the helper, the counselor with us, at work in us. He is the gift of the Spirit to those who live by faith. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, believing God is with you, his Spirit dwelling in you, then by faith anticipate some power. In Romans, Paul wrote in this letter to the Romans in chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." Why? It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news, he says, tells us how God makes us, by God's power, makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish. How? By faith. As the scriptures say, it's through faith that a righteous person has life. Paul has no reluctance or reason to shy away from telling anyone about the salvation that Jesus has made possible for the world, because he says it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. It isn't Paul's power. It isn't the church's power. It isn't Rome's power or Israel's power, as Paul reminded the church in Corinth. In the same way, for the kingdom of God, he said, it's not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. Anticipate some power. That's what makes this good news so good, that it is God's power at work accomplishing for us and in us what is only possible to be received by faith. Let's live into 2025 by faith, anticipating God's power. That's the first way we can live by faith. Here's the second. One of the ways I believe that we anticipate God's power is by anticipating change. We can live 2025 by faith, anticipating change. God is able to change circumstances around you, and God is able to change the attitude of the heart within you. God can make change in your relationships, and God can make change in your finances. God is able to make change anytime we are willing to trust him and live by his word. In the next 12 months, some change will come to us. But some change must also come from us. It's often the most difficult kind of change, which is why New Year's resolutions are often nothing more than happy ideas that we wish were already true of us. I'm going to be healthier this year. I'm going to save more money this year. I'm going to be more generous and give away more this year. The problem is we don't already enjoy living the way that we would have to live if that were true. That's why it's so hard for change to come from us. The gym will be more crowded in January, but hang on for about 6 weeks and the crowd will dwindle back down to normal. We'll be better, though, this year. We'll be nicer. We'll be more self-controlled. We'll drink less. We'll quit that habit. Is it really possible to change? The Bible's answer to that question is a resounding yes. It is possible. There are stories, too many to count, in fact, of people who chose with heroic determination to change how they live. There are people who do quit habits, people who do reshape their health and their relationships with strenuous exercise and sacrifice. And just like changes that require personal resolve, there are changes that require deeply personal faith. Believing that the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead can give life to you. Life you don't already have. Desires you don't already have. Patience you don't already have. Compassion that you don't already have. To live by faith means anticipating change aided and even produced by the power of God. One of the most profound statements about the possibility of change in the Bible can be found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In fact, I was thinking between now and January 1st, I strongly urge you to take some time and just read Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's not that long. You can do it. It's a really short little book in the New Testament. Probably could read it all in one sitting, but it is so full of encouragement. Listen to these profound words about change that Paul wrote. He said, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." And he goes on to say, not just for you. That's not just true for you. It's true for me. It's true for all of us. We all used to live that way. And then in verse 4, he says, "But God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life." Talk about change. "He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved." And in verse 10, he says, "We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Once you were dead because you didn't want God's way, you wanted your way. We've not been what we ought to be. By our nature, you and I crave the wrong stuff. We try and elevate ourselves over others and even try to claim the place of authority that only belongs to the one who is holy and matchless in power. We want his throne. But by grace, through faith, God has given you and I a do-over. I always think about the old Nintendo set that I had when I was a kid that had a big reset button on it. God has given us a reset, a do-over. By the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we get another chance to discover what's possible in life with God. That kind of change, that scale and depth of change in our souls is only possible by God's power. We can change in a lot of ways in 2025. Our plans will almost certainly change, but there are changes that you and I will only make by faith. By faith, we can anticipate power. By faith, we can anticipate change. And here's the third way to live by faith, is to anticipate confidence. Anticipate growing confidence. Change may not be easy. Even change produced by the grace of God is not easy. God gives us new life with him, which means some old ways of life must be removed, must be taken off, and some new ways of life must be accepted and put on. Anybody get some new clothes for Christmas this year? Probably a few of us. You unwrapped a present to find a new shirt or new shoes or a new hat, and what do you do with it? Well, some of you return it and choose something else. Or you try it on. You try it. You test it. Does it fit right? Does it feel right? Does it look right? I'm wearing new jeans tonight. They're holding up okay so far. I'm trying them out. Trying it on helps determine your confidence in wearing it, for wearing it, at least in front of other people. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 wanted to remind his audience that they had lived through some difficulties. He reminded them of how their faith had been tested. They had to try on their faith in order to grow in greater confidence. He reminded them of how some of them had been jailed for professing Jesus to be Lord. Others had lost all their possessions because they refused to deny their devotion to Jesus, and yet they remained steadfast in their faith. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he tells them, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Then he reminds them from an Old Testament prophet, and my righteous ones, he says, will live by faith. God says, I'll take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. And then the writer of Hebrews says, but we're not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We're faithful ones whose souls will be saved. And then he says in chapter 13, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I won't be afraid. What can mere people do to me? His confidence has grown. Our faith may be tested in 2025, and we'll have to keep trying on our faith in new situations. You may have moments in the new year when you need to try out believing that God is with you. Or try on obedience to what God has spoken in the scriptures. And as we do, we can participate in or anticipate growing confidence in God, growing confidence in His Word, growing confidence in His presence that will not leave us or forsake us, growing in our confidence in His ability to sustain us and uphold us through whatever may come our way. By faith in 2025, we can anticipate growing confidence. And lastly, by faith with growing confidence, we can anticipate glory. Let's look for some glory in this new year. Last week we heard from the Gospel of John how when Jesus turned water into wine, he revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. What is glory? Psalm 66 says this. It's a shout of praise. The psalmist says, shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Glory is the truth of God being made evident. It's the truth of the greatness of God put on display. It is the greatness, the goodness, the preeminence, the majesty, the wow of who God really is made recognizable to us. So Jesus revealed his authority over the observable nature of creation by making water be wine. Jesus made known his authority and his power. He revealed His glory. What is true of Him became evident. We glorify God, for instance, when our lives reveal who our Savior is and what He can do with lives like ours. That's how we glorify Him. That's why the psalmist says in verse 2 there, sing about the glory of His name. Tell the world how glorious He is. And then look at verse 16. This is how he does it. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me. For I cried out to Him for help, praising Him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. This guy's telling us who God is, how God has displayed for him who he really is. He says, this is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. In his letter to the Romans, Paul wrote, "Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us in to this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." The evident truth of who he is. As we live in 2025 by faith, there are going to be moments when the truth of God's presence and the truth of his power and the truth of his love and mercy become undeniably evident. And there will be some stories to tell of how glorious God is. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Will we live by faith in this coming year, anticipating some moments of glory and some stories to tell? I know we will. Alex, wherever you are, come and join me. William Seymour, guy I told you about in the beginning, after he was fired and stranded in Los Angeles, he went on to lead what became the Azusa Street Revival. A half-blind man, born to former slaves in southern Louisiana, poorly educated, no college degrees, no credentials, whose only distinct characteristics by all who encountered him were faith and humility. He had no home of his own. And the revival he led happened in a rented old barn on a little dead-end street. But talk about glory. Because thousands and thousands and thousands of people came from all over the city, the country, and from nations around the world to gather in that barn, to worship, to pray, to hear William Seymour preach the Word of God, and to seek a personal experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that went on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 3 straight years. The Azusa Street Revival that began here in Los Angeles in 1906 spread throughout the world as what many consider the greatest worldwide movement of evangelism since the church began. It is one of the greatest stories in the history of Christianity. I recently came across an article that William Seymour wrote at the start of a new year in 1907, describing the experience on Azusa Street. This is what he wrote. "We are expecting wonderful things from the Lord for 1907. The closing up of the old year and beginning of the new found us on our knees at Azusa Mission. And as the new year was announced, such a wave of glory and divine love and unity came over us. The meeting went on till morning and all the next day." It's a jubilee year, he says. It's a year devoted to God. May we all spend it at his feet, learning of him. From the little mustard seed of faith that was given to a little company of people waiting on God in a cottage prayer meeting, he says, "Now a great tree has grown, so that people from all parts of the country are coming like birds to lodge in the branches thereof." The faith, he tells us, is still growing. still growing in confidence. And we are still just in the beginning, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. It was that first sentence that caught my attention when I found this article. We are expecting wonderful things from the Lord for 1907. So full of faith, so full of anticipation. And I couldn't help but smile because William Seymour didn't know when he wrote that. But in 1907, from those meetings on Azusa Street, a little group would form, calling themselves the Italian Christian Assembly. The church, this church, our local church, is one of the wonderful things from the Lord for 1907. And by faith, we can still expect wonderful things from the Lord for 2025. In the same article, there are some fitting words of encouragement for us on the cusp of a new year, where he wrote, "We acknowledge Christ only, his truth, his word. The Spirit of God will teach us if we keep low in love and humility before him. We must give God all the glory in this work. We must keep very humble at his feet. Then glory to Jesus who loved me. And glory to Jesus who came, and glory to Jesus who fills me and seals me with his own precious name." We cannot predict much, if anything, that will happen in the new year. But let's decide right now to live 2025 by faith. Let's decide right now to anticipate power in the change you thought could never take place. Let's decide now to live with anticipation of growing confidence that you and I will witness some glory. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Would you stand with me and let me pray for us, and then we're going to give God glory for a little bit. Lord, so good.
Yes, God.
You're so good. What a gift, Lord, to be closing out another year. What a gift to have a year ahead of us to anticipate, Lord, what you might do. You're not finished with any one of us, Lord.
Yes.
And so let the work go on. Keep completing in us the good work that you began. Help us, Lord, to trust you with more of who we are.
Yes.
More areas of our lives, Lord. More questions that we're faced with. Lord, help us to remember to stop and to get on our knees and say, God, how should I respond to this? I need power. I need change. I need confidence. I need your glory. We're trusting you for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, what you did in the past, you can do again.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't have to be in a barn on Azusa Street. You can revive our hearts, our lives, our families, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our city, our country, here. Now, And so, Lord, we yield to you.
Yes, God.
And maybe 2025, maybe the end of 2024 is the time for some of you to live by faith for the first time. Accept him. Accept your Savior tonight. Start a new year with a commitment to follow Jesus. You can pray and let him know you're doing that. Just tell him, Lord, I'm walking with you. I'm trusting in you now. That new life, I need that. Help me receive that, Lord. God, thank you for what you have done and will continue to do with all who faithfully seek you. Looking for your glory, living by faith. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let's worship.